Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and greetings, greetings and blessings, blessed souls. We're live because we're trying to stay existential alive in Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Rachamim, instructions of mercies. You now turn into Blog Talk Radio, and our program efforts, our humble efforts, are called Soul Talk. And we humbly assert with a higher inner frequency of Blog Talk Radio. This is Soul Talk number 808, Meditation, part of the Foundation of Torah Study, part 2. Baruch Hashem blesses our eternal creator, shalom, peace, and bracha, blessing upon the entire human family condition. With the creator's help, our next broadcast is scheduled for today, which it is, February 25th, 2024. It's now 11:01. We start at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, live from Turtle Island, a.k.a. equals the USA equals Unified Soul Actualization. Program to focus on what many people consider a spiritual experience, namely meditation. From a Torah perspective, meditation is the catalyst for generating more love and fear of the Creator. We plan to share the teachings from Mitler Rebbe, the second Chabad Rebbe, who lived from 1774 till 1827, went to the next level of life, and it could be today we'll also be injecting some teachings from one of his top Talmidim students, Rav Hillel Meparich, whose song was composed by Rav Hillel way back in the 19th century. You can call 563-999-3688, make the show a little bit more organic to listen live or even participate, and of course this will be archived. Meanwhile, may the Eternal Creator bless and protect you and your family peacefully and pleasantly. The tags for today's program are Eternal Creator, Universal Redemption, Divine Image, Children of Israel working with Children of Noah to remove hatred, jealousy, and competition not needed upon the face of this blessed earth. Gratitude is not just an attitude, written in oral traditions of Israelite Torah, Shar Yuchud, the Gate of Unification, the Mitler Rebbe, Rav Hillel Meparich. So we're going to turn down this, what is known as a Nigun, a composition by Rav Hillel Meparich, and let's get on with the shoe. All right. So, our co-host again, our student and activist and advocate for the dispersion of the teachings of the Nesher Gadol Rambam, Dennis Ryan, is still vacationing somewhere in South America. So we're going solo, and hopefully not hand solo, but hopefully the force of the Creator will be evidenced by the words that come from our mouth and the meditations of our mind and the feelings deep embedded within our heart. And just to broadcast and just to remind people of the constancy of the Creator's plan, going to worldometer, .info/world population/, and we see right now we have almost 8,100,000,000 people. It's a kinetic number, and there's a certain constancy which we learned about a couple months ago when we did programs co-hosted by Dennis Ryan, is that for every person that's passing on, there's at least 2+ people being born. So today so far, again, these are kinetic numbers, they're constantly going up. Today, unfortunately, 76,800+ people went to the next level of life, and almost 170,000 people have come into this blessed world. The growth population for this world so far in 2024 has been 11 million, almost 200,000. And that's there have been more than 20 million births and almost 10 million people have passed on, again, as we mentioned, to the next level of life, because Lubavitcher wasn't asked by someone from the Hillel Student Organization, what happens after death, the Rebbe said it's better to rephrase the question, what happens at the next level of life? Before we go further, I just want to mention that today's broadcast is dedicated towards the elevation of the souls of Amin Ben Galina, Esther Bas Yair, and Benjamin Zacharia Ben Alexander Zalman. And also to give you a little inkling as to those who are listening to us around the world, I just want to point out that still America dominates with 83.33% of our listening audience, followed by Australia at 2.63%, followed by France, 2.63%, followed by Canada, 1.75%, and dropping from a four-way tie from a couple weeks ago was Israel. Come on, Lundsman, only at 1.75%. We also have listeners in France. Oh, wait, we mentioned that before. Germany, a little less than 2%. In Russia, we have less than 1%. And in Argentina, we have also 1.75%. So, with that being said, let's now go and read a little bit from, before we get into the meat of today's program, from the Garden of Gratitude, which was written by Rabbi Shalom Arush and translated by Rabbi Lazer Brody, who himself is a living miracle, and he translated it to English. And we're going to talk about a point of gratitude, bless his soul. And this is a book I heavily recommend. It was published in ER 5771, which would correspond to 2010. And you can learn about how to purchase it by going to www.myemuna.com, www.myemuna.com, which literally means my faith. And also, all matters relating to this book, you can reach out to the Chut Shel Chesed, like a string of kindness institutions, which are located on Shmuel and Avi Street, P.O. Box 50226, Jerusalem, Israel. Telephone numbers are two given, 972-52-224-0696 and 972-2581-2210. I believe preceding the 972 number, there's an international code. I forgot what it is to dial into Israel, but if you're interested, you'll find out. It's not so hard to get this information. So, a point of gratitude. Rev Arush wants us to understand that we should consider looking at all the beautiful spiritual gifts that we have in this world. We also have a lot to live for and so much to be thankful for. So our obligation of thanks to the Creator is therefore much more than good manners or proper etiquette. A young married man who lived in a non-observant community once came to ask my advice, meaning Rav Arush. He was overcome with sadness. He asked, "What can I do to change my life?" So Rav Arush responded, "First of all, why not work on being happy?" When I saw the astonished expression on his face, I understood that he didn't believe that he could be happy in his situation. So I showed him some of the good points which he can rejoice. Thank Creator, you observe the Shabbat, and you don't eat chametz, which are the leavened products on Pesach. You built the sukkah this past Sukkot, the festival of the tabernacles. You put on tefillin this morning, the phylacteries. You should be jumping for joy. Every tiny mitzvah, every commandment, every minuscule spiritual endeavor, each and every syllable of Torah learned, and a single word of prayer is a reason to rejoice, especially when considering the unimaginable rewards that such spiritual endeavors earn. As such, we are truly obliged to thank the Creator for the wonderful opportunities He gives to serve Him and to perfect our souls by way of the Torah and the mitzvot, or the commandments. Our Sephardish brothers also add, we are obligated to sing praises before you. We are obligated to sing to the Creator. There is no nuance. For every Shabbat, we all recite the moving Nishmat Kol Chai, the soul of all living things, which says, for it is the obligation of the Creator being to sing praises before you. This reminds us that we're not doing the Creator a favor by saying thank you, as if it was some act of special devotion or piety on our part. Rather, gratitude is the bare minimum repayment for the myriads and myriads of blessings that we enjoy each moment. So let's be good, happy people, blessed souls. Let's understand that we are constantly being showered by gifts from above. We just have to open up our hearts to realize and feel the joy of such human experiences. We're now going to turn to O Salah for the first chapter of Shaar Yichud, which we began in our first presentation part, the foundation meditation part of the foundation of Torah study, part two. And we started part one, and we had a little break in the action because unfortunately one of my clients passed away. And last week I went to Chicago to visit family, so we're reuniting today. And I hope those who enjoyed part one will certainly, hopefully, with God's blessings, enjoy part two and want to go further into all the parts we hope to share with you. So in the last presentation, we talked about the essence, the mouse, what it is of meditation in its essence is to look very strongly into the depth of a concept and to seek out the truth of the concept until a person understands it clearly in all its particulars and particularities, And this is of the realm of Panimius Bina, of inner understanding. But the Gemara, from the oral Torah tradition, understands it within the Lashon of Iyun, which is an analytical type of learning style. Now, there is a tractate in the oral Torah tradition of how to properly observe the festival of Sukkot. It's called Masechta Sukkah. And it talked about if a person goes out to his Sukkah and wants to learn on a very deep fashion, but that means they'll have to go back and forth from the sukkah back into the house, or maybe the sukkah is close to a base medrash, a house of study, that he would, if he keeps something, like say he's learning one book, and he needs five other books for references, so this means five different times, he's going to go back and forth from the sukkah into the base medrash, the house of study, or his own house, so he would be exempt from learning in the sukkah, because during the seven-day festival of sukkah, an 8-day outside the land of Israel, where it's kind of like included in Shemini Atzeres, a unique holiday unto itself, but not for discussion today, that he can go, he exempted from learning in a sukkah, although all other activities, majority of the person's activities during that week, should be within the sukkah as much as possible. So that's for a person who's learning liyune, meaning doing a deep analytical study. But if a person's learning on a level of Torah study called girsa, meaning it's cursory learning, it's just rather basically the understanding of the matter with the first glance. It kind of like goes and flows quickly. And a person doesn't tarry and to stand on the subject matter to seek out the more nuanced truths within those things he already has picked up on a cursory level. For instance, if a person looks at something and is not doing some sort of analytical study of the matter into the quality of the matter that he or she is studying or the essence of it with all of its points and its inner points and more superficial points, but it kind of like passes over it in general, in the span of time, for sure the person who learned in a very cursory style. We're not talking about people with photographic memories. Like most of us, if we don't review something, good chance that we're going to forget something. So that's the cursory style of learning, which is not, it's not to be excluded from a person's daily diet of learning Torah or any forms of spirituality, because you can slice it and dice it any way you want. In fact, I encourage people who don't learn Torah, not aware of the Torah, that are listening to this program, to use it with your own, you know, faith to see how you can more attach yourself to that faith. It might not be my faith, it's your faith, gesunte heit. And a person will forget it. Now, when a person again learns on a very cursory level and gets very excited about it, but wants to explain it to their friend or family member, they cannot relate to what they just learned except on a general level of that matter that they saw with the passage of the eye and not the sinking of the eye of their consciousness, but rather just pull it, you know, just passing over with the eye of their intellect, with any sort of reasoning, with the first glance, without any tarrying or standing upon it. The worst outcome of this is that a person's not going to know what is the purpose of why they even did that type of cursory studying about that subject matter. Imagine a person had wanted to make an endeavor to major in a certain topic in college, say medicine. And they're only learning it in a general way, but anyone who knows anyone or anyone who's a doctor knows the details that one must commit to the mind and retain those, you know, what is the biology of the body, anatomy, what's going on in the brain and the heart and the blood vessels, the arteries, the veins, the sinews, the bones, the cartilage. A person has to be well aware and in a moment's notice be able to recall them, because that's the preparation for one's career as a doctor, to know what part of the body are we dealing with when there's some sort of dysfunctionality which suddenly came upon the person. God forbid, they broke a finger, or maybe they fractured the finger, maybe there's a contusion, there's internal bleeding. A person has to know what's going on inside the body to really get an idea of what it is to be a medical practitioner. But if a person just learns it superficially, they could, you know, sound pretty wise at the local party that they're attending to during the week or whatever, over the weekend. But they're never going to be able to practice. And then they'll ask themselves, why am I studying this if I'm not seeking out the truth of the matter? The truth of the matter, say, like in the field of medicine, is to be thoroughly aware of how the human body functions to the greatest possible extent that's known at this time in this generation, in 2024. So the Mittler Rebbe wants to go on and say that after we understand that there is definitely a promotion of the idea of analytical study as it relates to the cognitive form of meditation known as bonus or inner understanding, we now have to take a step back and realize anything that is a matter of consideration of human thought and intellect and emotion and speech and action Sorry about that, blessed souls. We had a little Don's Law, you know, there's Murphy's Law. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong, and I actually set off the telephone, which is configured to broadcasting today's humble effort. Anyway, so I think where we left off is that the Mittler Rebbe wants us to know is that if you consider any matter for your mind to contemplate upon, hopefully in a very deep fashion to know all the details, it's important to be aware of three dimensions of any subject matter, so it becomes much more nuanced, and one understands what is one's purpose in learning based on the pursuit of these three dimensions of any concept. So with any concept, in the Hebrew it's called an idea, a matter of study, it's called the Devar Muskal. And the three general dimensions are the Omek, the depth of the idea, of the concept, the subject matter, the Orech, the length of the concept, the subject matter being said, and the rochav, and the breadth or width. So the rochav is the realm of understanding the matter with many details, like the depth of a river. The length is the ability to capture all that width or breadth or knowledge that one has accumulated and to simplify it into allegorical teachings per the need of the student learning that, or the student now has become an expert in those teachings and now a teacher, and to bring it down even to the comprehension level of a small child. Like a river that goes and proceeds out to its length. So I'd like to give an example of that, which I've personally observed. Here up in New York State, I mean, I live in Brooklyn, Crown Heights, or we'd like to say on the street, Irie Heights, Crown Heights, that one time, I guess it was, wow, it was like going back to 2001, before I even had any gray hairs on my beard, that I traveled from Albany, New York, which is the capital city of New York State, and I passed a creek-like gathering of waters. Now, it was identified to me, this is the beginning of the Hudson River. Very humble beginnings of the Hudson River. As we drove, you know, like 100-plus miles, gradually and steadily, the body of water widened out and widened out and widened out to the point where you couldn't cross it, you know, unless you swam across this large body of water. Then you reach the Tappan Zee Bridge, which I think has a new name today, maybe the Mario Cuomo Bridge, I think. And then you're heading to New York City, where the Hudson River becomes like the Hudson Bay. And then it goes out past Staten Island. I think it's still called the Hudson Bay. And I think at that point, you know, salt water starts hitting fresh water, the salt water from the Atlantic Ocean, hitting the Hudson River. So, again, it started out as a teeny tiny creek with barely a wave rippling through the water. I don't recall any. I think it was just like still water. But it's a testimony to the depth of that river. But the depth of a river or the depth of a concept doesn't necessarily have its own dimension, but rather when it interacts to that which it's already jettisoned out into the realm of the consciousness of your blessed mind, blessed souls, it's called the ström, or the essence of the river, or the essence of the understanding in your mind, is flowing out from its source. And what happens is that fact upon fact is kind of like building a river of understanding for you, or in the actual allegory, the water coming from the wellsprings of the river, because the water has to go somewhere. It doesn't evaporate when it comes out of its source. It assumes the dimension of a width, meaning the pure facts of the concept, switching back to the source of this allegory, which is also known as the nim, the mushal. And the source of this mushal allegory is called the nimshal. So what happens is that dimensions are formed because of the outflowing from the source of the concept. So thus, we should be aware that there's not just the concept with its three dimensions. There's the depth of the concept, which is the realm of the essence of its point, meaning every subject matter has an essential point, and from there, all the particularities of the knowledge of that matter and all the means of simplification of that matter. So again, a small child could understand it, is something that is also known as the omek ha-musag, the depth of comprehension. And what can disperse out with an explanation to all sides, with a great width, with many particularities, and then to the length, and by being able to bring it down with a powerful type of dissension, the simplification, not stupefaction, but simplification of the concept, makes the matter much more accessible to other people. So, this is, we're going to end here now. And aside from that little break because of Hans Law that was activated, I think there was a lot of information shared, and this is something to review over and over again. But we're going to segue out of today's program with Shepherds of Men, which was composed, performed by Ari Lesser, who always gives more, not lesser. His efforts are always better, which means better. And I want to remind everyone, today is the day, today, this very moment, to get rid of our hatred, jealousy, and competition against each other, because when there are no more thoughts of hatred, no more thoughts of jealousy, no more thoughts of competition, and no more speech about hatred or jealousy or competition, and there's no more combination of letters of the mind of hatred, jealousy, or competition, we will find ourselves smack right in the middle, in the depth of Moshe Mashiach, the days of the Messiah, the eternal redemption. May this manifest in a way of a havachad, one love, goral achad, one destiny, one of all of the dark, shalom, a peaceful, pleasant way. And we'll segue to today's program from a composition way back from 2015 by Ari Lesser called Shepherds of Men. Take care, everyone. Be safe. And let's make it a better world. Right now.
Oh, shepherds of men, only yourself you have. But is it not the flock that a shepherd is meant to watch? You eat until you're full. You wear the finest wool. You slaughter healthy sheep from a flock you do not keep. You will not help the poor, the sick you do not cure. The broke you never find, and the lost you never find. You rule the flock by force, you're working like a horse. So they must run it high, with no shepherds to guide. My sheep wander away, and wolves eat them as prey. They scatter low and high, on every hill they cry. My flock of sheep will cross, the face of earth is lost. And no one tries to crawl, or search for them at all. Whoa, shepherds of men, only